This is a man's world, but we won't quit. This is a man's world. She who dares wins.
Hello and welcome to the podcast, the She Who Dares Wins podcast. And my guest today is Katie. Katie is a crane driver and well, yeah, met you back in, oh my gosh, I don't even know when it was, 2 years?
2 years, yeah, like a couple of years, yeah.
So we did an event together, but I feel like you were an early adapter to the social media scene. Like, you were kind of the first person that I saw that I could relate to and was like, oh, okay, someone in construction. And I think it really stemmed from there. And like, you were really, and still are doing loads of stuff on LinkedIn, doing like the circuit of speaking. And then, yeah, eventually got to meet. Come on, Michelle, put your teeth in. And so I want, like, it's been a long time. I feel like we've missed each other constantly, but finally got you on the podcast. And just want to share your story with folks because it's pretty inspiring. You, like many of us, didn't really decide you wanted to go into construction early on. It was never like a lifetime wish. So yeah, just talk us through how you became to become an apprentice and then eventually a crane driver.
Yeah, and I think, you know, what you said about most of us don't choose it, and we don't. And people always think that I walked around London looking up at the cranes and thinking, well, when I grow up, I want to be a crane operator and I can do that. And that's what I've always wanted to do. But it doesn't really work like that. And like you said, I never thought I'd work in construction. I didn't really think it was an option for me. And when I was in school, you know, I don't think I know any females who worked in construction. My dad was a bricklayer. And a site manager, but I didn't know anyone who did that. So when I kind of stumbled upon it, I'll start a bit earlier. So prior to all this, I went to university, I did English literature, I hated it, I dropped out. then I went into work. So I started off working in mobile phone shops, and then I sort of fell into sales. And you do fall into sales, and as you know, with most jobs, once sales is on your CV or whatever's on your CV, that's what you are. So I was a salesperson. Mm-hmm. I worked for newspapers. I worked for magazine advertising, selling advertising space. Eventually, I ended up in recruitment. And this is, I guess, where it kind of started off. So I worked in the trades and labour section in recruitment, putting out, you know, bricklayers, painters, carpenters, sort of blue-collar trades. And I kind of sat there and I was looking through construction websites. I was allowed, it's part of my job, and I wasn't, you know, allowed on Facebook and stuff. So that was about as exciting as it got. And I kind of thought, I'm not seeing many women here. There wasn't any, and I didn't know any women. And it was kind of a moment where I thought, could I work in construction? Okay, I hated sales. I did sales because I was a good communicator. Mm-hmm. Because I could talk to people, but I hated selling. I wasn't ever a good salesperson because I wasn't very money orientated like that. So it wasn't ever about squeezing the extra 50 pence out of the working man to try and bulk up my back pocket. I just wasn't that way inclined. And I just thought, could I do it? But what would I do? So I had no qualifications. I had no idea what I could work in or anything really. And I just thought, well, if I send off a few CVs and maybe apply for a few different things, maybe an apprenticeship sort of staff at the bottom and try and see whether somebody will train me up to do something else. And I can't even remember. Maybe it was like a heating engineer or something like that that I applied for. It wasn't crane operating. And I sent it off and I got a phone call back, and they sort of said, we've got a new apprenticeship starting. How do you feel about crane operating? I was driving back from work and I was just like, I had it on loudspeaker, you know, you're like, I said, send it through. I'll have a read and I'll give you a shout back. I'm just driving home at the moment. And I remember really vividly, I got home and I said to my dad, I had a phone call from a, you know, large corporate company. And he said, oh, they want some guys on site. So he's thinking it's to do with recruitment. And I said, no, I said, it wasn't that. And I said, they asked me if I wanted to be a crane operator. And my dad just looked at me really blankly and he just said, did you tell him to fuck off? was remembering. He just threw it out there, like, did you tell him to fuck off? And I said, no, I didn't tell him that. I didn't tell him that. And then from then on, I kind of kept it all to myself. And I read the email. And I didn't think women operated cranes. And so I just didn't think. And I thought, and I had to sit there and sort of look into myself and sort of reevaluate what I knew and what I didn't know. And I sort of questioned it. Do women operate cranes? Do they operate cranes? Type in crane, female crane operator. You can't really find their name.
No.
At the time. And I was like, okay, there's a few, you know, in Australia and a couple in Dubai and things like that. And then I had to kind of think, well, could I operate a crane?
How do you measure that? Do you think I'm a good driver? Like, I don't know. Are you good at that grabber? At the, like, the
I am good at the grabber.
Could I
operate a crane? And I thought, well, stuff it. Let's go for the interview and we'll see what happens. So I lied to my current work and said I had a meeting, and I pissed off out there for a couple of hours. And I turned up at the head office and I walked in, and there was a load of men sat there, men everywhere. There was just men, you know, like, and I'm like, oh my God. And I went, what the hell are you doing? Why are you doing this yourself? Why do you think you should even be here or be doing this, or that anyone would even consider you as a crane operator? And then I sort of sat there, and I'm wearing like a little dress because I was at work, and, you know, little shoesies, and these guys had suits on, so we all kind of, but I'm feeling a bit ridiculous, you know, like I just didn't feel like I fit in. And then I thought, well, you know, it's nothing to lose. Let's go in and see what it's about. And first I tried to park in the CEO's parking space. It was all just wrong. Great from start. The start. You know, like, I'm like reversing in like this, like thinking I'm all cool. Like, why is that space right at the front? Yeah, I'm parking. Got the guys come running out like, no, you can't park in there. Okay, there's no sign. Like, you just know. But I'm going off on a tangent, aren't I? But yeah, so I went into the interview room, and all the interviewees were all men as well. And I'm thinking, oh, this isn't. What am I? I just think my only concern was, what the hell was I doing there, and why was I putting myself through this?
Yeah.
And we did loads of tests. It was all test-based. So it was all like team testing. It was all psychometric testing. We had to build a structure. Half the bits were missing. I thought it was really ingenious. I thought they took them out to like double test me and I should build this structure anyway. But no, they were just missing. So so we did all these tests, and I sort of left, and I thought, that's it. I'm never getting a phone call from these people ever again. And I didn't really think much about it. I just kind of left, and I thought, well, you know, you went to the interview, you give it a good shot, let's move on, carry on doing what we're doing. And and then I got a phone call, and they said, oh, you did really well on the interview, we were really impressed with you, we liked everything you did. And the first thing I said was, it's not because I was the only woman, was it?
Nobody wants that free card, right? Nobody wants that.
Nobody wants it. And I thought, it's the first thing I said to him was, it was not because I was the only woman. And I said, it's not because I was the only woman, was it? Because I don't want that pass. And he said, no, honestly, he said, you were really good. You showed really good, and he went through it, or you showed really good team skills. We could see you doing management or something at some point. Would you be interested in doing it? And I thought, and I sat there, and I hadn't told anyone I went to the interview. So I kept it completely secret. And I thought, well, you know, I do really need a change. I've hated what I've done for the last 10 years. This could be a good way out.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't particularly that I thought I'd be like a brilliant crane operator or anything. So I didn't, you just don't know. But I just thought it would be a really good way out into doing something different, into a new industry, and into trying something I never tried before. And if these people are willing to invest all this money in teaching me to do something else, then I'd be silly not to do it.
And how did your dad react, like, when you...
well, that was it. So I thought, I'm going to have to tell him, you know, that I'm thinking of that.
Undercover crane driver. Like, working for MI6. Day job. Actually, I'm a sales rep.
I haven't mentioned it since. So I was like, okay, I'm going to have to mention it, because they wanted me to start it fairly quickly. And I went home and I had my boyfriend at the time and my dad, and I told them about it. And I said, look, I'm thinking of going for it. They've offered me an apprenticeship. And dad was like, are you sure you want to do this? I'm like, I think so. I think I'm going to try it. I'll either be really good at it or really bad at it. But recruitment jobs are 10 a penny anyway. So if I was really shit at it,
yeah, you could
I'd get something else. I mean, the only thing was I'd only just found like a really good company. I'd been there about 6 months. So that was a bit, you know, I'd worked at different companies before that. But and he said, are you sure you want to do this? He's like, you know, you'll be full of men. And, you know, like, you really made for it. You won't be able to have nice nails and, you know, your makeup and all this lot. I was like, right. And I told my boyfriend at that time, he was like, no, he's like, you won't like it. Because he worked in piling. He did piling. Okay. He was like, you won't like it. He was like, it's long hours. It's dirty work. He was like, there's men all the way. You're the scaffolders. You're not going to like it. But the problem is, as soon as somebody tells me I'm not made to do something,
yeah.
Probably like yourself, I'm like, right, okay, you both said I can't do it, but that's it. Probably if they told me I could do it, I'd be like, no, I'll stay where I am. Like, no, you're not made for this. I'm like, no, yes, I am. Yeah. I'm going to go and show you all. And
I think you need a bit of that, yeah.
You do, because I think if everyone was so supportive, you'd just go, oh, well, maybe I'm all right in recruitment.
Yeah, I'll stick with what I'm doing. It's easy.
Maybe it's not that bad. I just thought, let's go for it. Let's try it and see what happens. It'll either go really well or it'll either go really badly. But if you don't try, you don't know.
And then you ended up, like, you know, training and then going and driving these big cranes in London. And, like, was it everything you expected, or did you not have any expectations? It sounds like you just kind of like, all right, let's just go into this and just see what happens.
I think I come from a bit of a different point maybe than some people, because I'd had a list of shit jobs.
Sorry, it's my phone, fuck's sake.
No, you're absolutely fine. I'd had a list of shit jobs, and I'd had a list of doing things that I really didn't enjoy doing, and for many years. And don't get me wrong, some of them were good, and, you know, I'd worked in a phone shop and I'd have shouting at people, I'd people throwing phones at me, you know, like a boss used to make me sit on his knee, you know, like,
oh, little... So you were well set up for construction then, like
it's nothing. And it was, you know, I've just been through all these experiences that I hadn't really enjoyed. So I went in there excited. I was really excited that somebody wanted to teach me to do something different, that they wanted to train me up, and that they thought I could do it, and that it was somebody was investing in me like that to change, because I really felt like it was a pivotal moment to change my life. And that sounds a bit cheesy, doesn't it?
No, but yeah.
I felt like I'd been stuck in a rut for so long. I'd been so unhappy. I'd had so many problems with debt and everything. And I felt like this was a really pivotal moment where I could maybe sort myself out, pull my trousers up and carry on, to be honest.
And financially, doing a crane driver, were you aware of like the salaries? Was that a big push for you? Were you aware of that, you know, potentially you could earn a decent amount of money? Was that something that you were like, okay, well, is this?
I think only kind of later on, but when they rang me about my apprenticeship, and I thought, oh, they're going to offer me a really measly wage.
Yeah. Because,
you know, you get that kind of stigma with apprentices. They give you £50 a week, yeah, or something until you get on with it. And I thought, they're going to offer me something really measly here, and I might not be able to take it. Financially, I might not be able to do it. And then they offered me more money than I was on.
Wow. An apprenticeship is pretty awesome. Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, okay.
No, we should definitely try this.
Yeah. It's all winning.
That's why when I was an apprentice, I went to college in Norfolk. So I was there for, we did a lot of tickets. I did tower cranes, crawler cranes, slinging signalling. I did traffic marshalling. What else did I do? I did dumpers for a spell. Okay. So they put us through absolutely everything. And so I spent quite a few, well, I think best part of a year there, in and out, sort of going back Monday to Friday, have a weekend off, go back Monday to Friday. And I went through all these tickets. So it's a really good experience. For me, I thought it was brilliant. because everything had been so shit up until that point. So it was like a holiday club where people were teaching you things. It was amazing. So I didn't understand why other apprentices would moan about it and people had issues with it. I could never get my head around why people would moan about this situation. And even later on, we had a lot more groups of apprentices and some of them would moan about it, and they'd moan about the wages and they'd moan about the accommodation. They'd moan about the food. And I'd be like, you know, like, you've just been handed the greatest opportunity you could ever have. You're getting trained up, you've got a job at the end of it, and they keep progressing your wages up until you're on the same wages as everyone else.
I think it's crazy. Like, I was having this discussion like probably about 2 or 3 years ago. So I've had a couple of apprentices that work underneath me, and like I've been like trying to train them up, and There seems to be like two sides to this. So there's apprentices that finish school and their parents are in construction. They're like, oh, okay, go and do an apprenticeship. And for the engineer side of things, I was like, right, you're going to, you know, after 3 or 4, no, probably 5 years time, you're going to have not only the training from college, but you're going to have on-site experience. So you're going to come out the same position as a graduate without the debt. Plus you're going to be more employable because you've been on site for 5 years. You know what's going on. So this is like a fantastic opportunity. And some of them, I think maybe down to age, were just like, oh yeah. And I always used to say, look, I used to like show they're probably wrong. I was like, this is how much money I earn. And they would like be like, oh my God, that's amazing. I'm like, you can do that. It seemed to be the only incentive to like an 18-year-old lad who was only interested in like buying trainers or drugs at the end of the weekend. And I was just like, this is where you can get to. But then the flip side of it, when I was speaking to probably actually most women that have done apprenticeships, like I had Rachel on here, she's a stonemason, very similar story to you. She went to university. I think she did a history degree and then like just did all these like little jobs and just wasn't really keen into a good career or something that she was passionate about. And then randomly enough, an apprenticeship came up to be a stonemason, Lincoln Cathedral, and absolutely loved it. The best career choice, just flying away with it now is amazing. And I don't know whether it's a bit of age or like you say with you, like that change of a new opportunity, but apprenticeships, like I even now I have to be really careful because my husband's a lecturer, but I'm like, don't go to university, because I've also worked alongside graduates. There's no disrespect to graduates, but like clean high vis book, learn all this knowledge. They're like, yeah, I'm going to be a manager in 2 years, which could be the case. They could be on a graduate scheme and do that, but it's like, you know, they stood around a digger and they haven't got a clue how they work. They haven't got a clue how the lads work. They don't know how things are put together. And it's not their fault. But for me, looking at, like, I mean, I had did a degree, but it was non-relevant to construction. But looking at the two now, I would be like, and I know they're hard to come by, get an apprenticeship. Like, if you can, even if you have the ability to go to university. No one, I think the problem is with stigma with apprenticeships is like, if you couldn't get a degree, you did an apprenticeship. But that is so not right. And also like financially as well, you don't need to, you know, I don't know what the average salary is for a graduate these days, but when you look at the comparison, like why not earn over 5 years and get the experience? I can't see, unless you want to go into like be a chartered engineer, or if it has to be, you know, like a structural engineer where it has to be specific and you have to do a degree. Like, I just think don't, because, and also the other thing, I don't know if you'd agree with this, but if you start an apprenticeship, you might actually then look at other trades, and I know you can switch and you might be like, okay, actually I don't want to drive a digger, or I don't want to do this, but actually I can learn other stuff. Would you say that's pretty accurate?
Oh, completely. And I think talking about construction companies, I think they're really supportive.
Yeah.
They really want to see you do well. They're not giving you an apprenticeship to set you up to fail. They really want to see you do well and get stuck in. And I did, my company put me through my appointed person's ticket last year. So they're always wanting to push you further. You know, if you want to go further and you want to become a construction manager, you know, site form, and you want to do anything, they're more than willing to support you. You want to go and change and do a degree, we do apprenticeship degrees and things as well. And, you know, I think it's always there. And once you're in with a company and they've seen you graft and they've seen you do the hard work and they've seen you out on site getting stuck in and doing what you need to do, they're more than happy to support you to follow whichever route you want to go. Because they don't want to lose you. They don't want to input a load of money into you and then walk off to another company.
Yeah, yeah.
They want to keep you for as long as they can. I think it's a brilliant way to go apprenticeships. And like I say, I had so many tickets starting out. So many tickets. I mean, most of them sort of fell by the wayside. And But, you know, and it's, I just think it's brilliant. I'm very pro apprenticeships as well. Not that I have a problem with, you know, university and degrees. And I think it really does depend on what you want to do. And like I say, we do degree apprenticeships as well as degree apprenticeships. So it's a possibility. And you still get the on-site training with a degree apprenticeship, which you wouldn't have. And you get funded. Somebody pays for you to go to university.
It's really hard to push university. Like, but everyone, you should go to university so that my husband can keep his job. just PE.
Degree apprenticeships. You're still at university. Just someone else is paying for it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, true. You do both. Yeah, exactly. Yes. Howdy, folks. I really hope you're enjoying this week's episode of the podcast. If you've got time, head over to www.shewhodareswins.com, where you'll find a ton of awesome merch, hoodies and tees. You'll also find a bunch of empowering and supportive content for you to soak up, not to mention the show notes for episodes like this one, and information on how you can connect to us via social media, and also join the private members Facebook group. Be sure to check it out. And in the meantime, let's get back to this awesome episode of the podcast. Back into like stuff that we've discussed and the reason why I guess on social media you know, we're popping up and we're chatting about things. Being a woman in construction, it's a topic that is ongoing and hence why we're here. But that apprenticeship and then full-time working as a crane operator, you know, was it tough? Was it, and bring in gender into this, you say when you looked around at the interview room and you were the only woman, like it's the case on site, isn't it? And it still is now. And yeah, how has it been for you? Like, do you have any like stories or?
it was strange. I can't lie. It was strange. And I'll talk about my first day because I think it's important. I think it's important to learn from it so we can change things.
Yeah, please.
So I've done all my apprenticeship. Everything was great in college, very comfortable. You know, still a lot of guys on site, but, you know, it's college and people are very nice at college. And so I've turned up for my first site, text message, get there at 7 o'clock, bring this, that and that. Fine, go to here. So I've turned up like, okay, I'm here. Walk in. There's like some guy on the desk. I'm like, I'm here to do my induction. He's like, go upstairs, whatever. So I've walked upstairs. Bearing in mind, I've never been on site before, so I don't know how site works. I don't really know what I need to get on site. I don't really know where I need to go. And there's this room full of people and this guy at the front talking. I'm like, oh my God, do I need to be in here? Have I missed the start of this thing? Or like nobody's saying anything, you know, I'm just stood there. I'm like, everyone's looking at me. Everyone's staring at me. The whole room turned to look at me, plus the guy who was talking turned to look at me. I'm like, okay, he sent me here. This must be where I'm due to be. So I've walked through the room slowly. Everyone's looking. It's really silent. I don't know why all the air suddenly escaped from the room. And I've reached the wall at the back and I've just stood against the wall and they've kind of all turned back around and carried on talking and doing what they're doing. And I've slid down the wall. I've slid into a ball at the bottom and sat there. Just sat there. And I'm thinking, I don't know what anyone's talking about. I don't understand this meeting. I don't think I'm going to be in here anymore. And I'm questioning myself. And at this point I went, what the hell are you doing to yourself? Why are you putting yourself through this? This whole room is looking at you and there's a guy staring at you and you're just sat on the floor with your hand in your head.
At least you weren't crying, right?
Yeah. Good point. But I'm curled up. I'm practically fetal about now. And it's only 7 in the morning.
Oh, shit.
And then eventually the room emptied out. Everyone left. And the guy who was talking come up to me and he had a chat with me and I explained and he said, you know, you need to be inducted. And I said, yeah, that's what I'm here for. And he said, well, just wait in here. There'll be along soon. So I sat there and I waited for my induction and I got it. And then I went on site. And what they expect from you when you go on site is they expect you to know how site works, how people on site work.
Yeah.
How everything works on site, and the fact is you've never been there. So you don't know how things work. You don't know you're meant to walk this way or that way or go this way, or that you're not meant to do this or you're not meant to do that. It was just all really awkward. And I remember walking on site and they were introducing me to a few people and everyone's staring, you know, everyone's just staring, you know. And it was that I really did question my life choices and what I was doing there. Why would you put yourself through that? And I remember I went to the crane. I met the crane. There was another crane operator on site. So we don't just get our apprenticeships very good. Unlike some other apprenticeships, you get sent straight to site. Here's your ticket.
Wow.
Crack on. Do what you need to do. We don't. So we get sent out with another crane operator, an established crane operator. And I spent a number of weeks with him, just watching what he was doing. Then he was letting me take over. He was teaching me about the crane, and it was all really good, to be honest. And then he left, and it was kind of my point to take over the crane and do what I was doing. But everyone stared. It was like, I felt like the Pope. You know the Pope in his Pope mobile?
Yeah, yeah.
Waving at people. That was me. That was me on a daily basis. And I felt like I had to wave at people.
But you had that again. Like, I'm gonna say here, you had the you've got your vehicle, right? So you're yeah, there. So you're kind of a little bit exposed. What I'm saying is I've felt that before, but I felt that walking, no, you do have to walk across site, but like I felt so exposed, and I've been like, right, I'll go and hide over here for 5 minutes, or I'll go over there and no one will notice me. But I suppose you are in such a huge machine, there is no escape, is there? It's yeah, just like, oh. And
no, that was it. I was like sat in this glass box, and then they built a walkway in front of my brain.
Like you're in a zoo.
Come down. Come down and stare at me. I had to sit there and wave at them and smile. It was like,
oh, that's your job. Just
I felt like I had to do that. I had to smile at people and wave at them. And I this went on for a long time. I was waving and smiling, especially with the walkway in front of it. And I felt like I had to at least be jolly, you know.
And just to put this in perspective for the listeners out there, I'm talking, you were working in a city, London, right?
Yes,
so busy, like, this was public. Yeah,
this is Oxford Street.
Oh shit! So, well, yeah, okay, busiest place in London, right? Okay, yeah.
It was interesting, and then everyone was sort of questioning my craning abilities, which is
standard.
You know,
yeah,
you'd hear lorry drivers would turn up and they'd be, "Oh, what's that girl like in the crane? You're always that girl in the crane. What's that girl like in the crane? Is she any good?" You know, lucky I had a really good team around me, really, really good team. But they'd ask the banksman, "What's that girl like in the crane? Is she any good? What's she like?" Other people on site, "What's that woman like in the crane?" It's like they expected me to reverse the crane through the wall or take half the building down.
Yeah.
And it annoyed me because I just knew if I was some guy in the crane, nobody would even ask.
Yeah.
They just wouldn't ask. It wouldn't even be a question. You see a guy in the crane, would you even think to say, "What's he like in the crane? Is he any good?"
It's a two-step verification. That's very social media of me, but it is, isn't it? It's like you've got to prove that you can do the job, but that's not good enough. Then you've also got to prove you can do it as a woman. And you're right. Like even like the crappiest men that I've worked with that just cannot do a job, their ability is not questioned first and foremost based on their gender. It's just like, you know, eventually we'll find out they're rubbish at a job, but it's up front, isn't it? It's like, oh, but no, she's a woman, so...
Yeah, she's a woman in a big machine.
Yeah, like shit. Everyone London dispersed.
But I felt it, and I didn't know half the time whether it was a pressure I was putting on myself or whether it was a pressure I was putting on site, but I felt like I had to be absolutely precise and perfect at everything I did, or else I'd just be torn to bits over it. And plus I was an apprentice, I was still learning really.
Yeah.
I just every day for like months I just felt such immense pressure of trying to operate this crane. And because I like you say, centre of London, and I'm in between these massive buildings and, you know, a new crane, and I wasn't sure that I wasn't going to stick it into Tesco's. That was my main concern for about 3 months, that I was going to stick the crane in the Tesco's because it's next door.
That looked great on the news, wouldn't it? Woman crane driver. They'd blatantly put woman as well. It wouldn't just be crane driver, woman crane driver, you know, rocks, whatever. Or
it looked really close. There's a big crane, and Tesco's is like, I mean, there was a site, then there was a pavement outside the site, and then there was Tesco's, and it was so close, you know that? And I was like, that's really close, because I'm used to, when you're in your apprenticeship, you're in a field.
I was going to say, I wouldn't trust myself unless I was in the field, yeah.
What are you going to hit? And then you're there, and like, for ages, I just thought, I'm going to stick this through Tesco's one day. I've just nice good luck. The wind's going to come, or something's going to happen, and this jib's going to go through Tesco's. And
it's totally okay, because if that happened, you could just blame it on your period and hormones, and because you're a woman,
and cry.
Yeah, and cry, and you'll be absolutely fine. It was just me. Like, well, I was a woman. I told you I was a woman. So what else did you expect?
What do you want?
I mean, we laugh about this stuff. Like, I know I've chatted in the past to you, and we laugh about shit we've had to put up with and stuff that you go through. And the reality is, some people, it'll put them off. But the one, it is funny, and it is our stories, and we have to embrace it. And times do need to change, and we're both advocates for that. It's something we're both passionate about. But yeah, like, if there's someone out there listening now and they've heard your story and they're like, oh, I don't know if I could put myself through that. And one thing I wouldn't say to people is, like, just do it for the story, if anything, because there's so many funny stories that come out of, like, you know, I've fell down manholes. I've had to work with a guy who was like David Dickinson, who was vile, and like, there's just so many stories. And you have them too. I think that's a whole other podcast.
Yeah.
But you know, what if there is someone there, and I think it will be slightly reassuring to them that you've talked about your feelings and how you felt, because that is really important. Like, sometimes on social media, I think we all come across as, yeah, we've been out there 10 years, 10, 15 years, you know, it's water off the duck's back. And it's not. Like, shit happens every day. It still gets to you. And at the start, you know, we weren't superheroes. We went on with a job. And like you say, you all those feelings of emotion from the apprenticeship to actually first day on site, and on no doubt throughout your career, there are these hard times. And would you say that, you know, those hard times are not as often? And
I talk about them. I talk about them because they're funny.
Yeah.
There's another reason I talk about them, though. I talk about them so we can change things.
Yeah.
So I talk about my first day on site. So the next apprentice goes to site, there's someone there waiting for them, right, that can take them to the right room, show them the right place to go, and carry on like that. That's why I talk about it. That's why I think it's important. Because if we don't talk about it, if I don't talk about my experiences to my company and what happened on that first day, or what was I not happy with on that first day or that first week, we can't change our apprenticeship any better. We can't make the experience any better for the next apprentice that comes on, or the apprentice after that that comes on. So that's part of the reason I talk about it. So we change things. We change the way we do things because I spoke about it, which you have. I think it's really important, but it's not everything. Your first day at work isn't your whole 5 years at work. It's just your first day, and it's just that moment. And yes, it was hard, and it was awkward, and it felt awful, and I giggle about it a lot now, because it was just badly organized and rubbish, and you know, that's just how it was. But I wouldn't want to put anyone off by talking about that. I think from where, you know, I've only been in the industry, over 6 years now. But from where I came from to where we are now, I think we've changed so much. Mm-hmm. And I think people are so much more aware about, you know, new joiners on site, new women on site, new apprentices on site. And the fact that, you know, you might have to be a bit nicer with how you do things. You might have to be a little bit more thoughtful with how you do things. You might think, do they need a toilet? You know. I mean, I was on site for ages. No, not that site, a different site. And I was sharing a toilet with welders for a long time. And, you know, I was sat in a crane and I wouldn't want to go to the toilet. That's appalling. You shouldn't have to hold your wee all day because you're afraid to go to the toilet. And I spoke about it. And I spoke about it at a Network Rail event, funny enough. And one of the guys there brought up, and he said he was CC'd into an email. And it was shocking. Some of the ladies were holding their wee, and they were talking about how to dehydrate themselves so they didn't have to go to the toilet as often because the toilet was so far away. And I brought up my experience of it. So then what they do is, because of this email chain, because they catch people talking about it, they fix it.
Yeah.
If we're not talking about it, things will not be fixed. Yeah. If we shouldn't be dehydrating ourselves, we shouldn't be holding our wee all day because we can't go to the toilet. And if your company is, you know, respectful enough and large enough and care enough to, about you, they'll put the changes in place to make other people more comfortable, make you more comfortable.
Yeah.
That's why I talk about it. Not because things are horrendous and I dread going to work every day and it's awful, but because there's very, very small things that have a large impact on people's lives that might make them not want to come back tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's minor. It's not that it's usually not the people they're working with. It's usually very small things like toilet facilities or, you know, just turning up on site for the first day and not having someone there, or it's just minor. But yeah, for people listening to me, I wouldn't be put off by any of it, because it's honestly the best career that I've had in my life. And it, you know, I talk about that pivotal moment, a change where I thought things would get better, and things did get better. Things got a lot better. It really did completely change my life. And I know it sounds like, oh, she just bullshitting or chatting rubbish, but it did. And I was a lot happier. I was a lot better rounded. I felt a lot more accomplished. Mm-hmm. Felt like I could actually do something. They gave me a load of tickets. I can walk off with these tickets tomorrow. I can work anywhere in the world if I want to.
Yeah.
You know, I can operate a crane in Shanghai. I can go to Dubai. I can anywhere. And I think that's what construction gives you.
I think, I mean, your story is inspirational. I think you've hit the nail on the head there. I've got my husband at the window because he's like, I've got a lecture in 5 minutes. Fuck off. So I'm going to have to round this off. But I want this to be part one of part two, if you're okay with that, because I feel like it's been an amazing episode. And I think part two, we could delve, if you're up for it, we could delve into, you know, the little funny stories, but also then like how we change, because we've just touched on it there at the end. And I think that's really interesting. I think both of us probably have a lot to say on that, is how we move forward. And I think it would be interesting for companies out there. I know there are some listeners out there that work for companies, some guys, and it'd be interesting for them to have a perspective on it as well. So yeah, I do want to have you back for that. And apologies for cutting you short now, but I want to say to everyone out there, yeah, just you were inspiration to me to start my social media campaign, and you still are with everything that you do, because you're honest and you're open, and that's really good. So thank you so much for sharing what you have with us today. Like I say, part two has got to be in the making, and yeah, I'm going to get shouted at real quickly. This is lockdown COVID podcast style, where you're on a time scale because you've got two kids and a husband that needs to do a lecture for God knows how many students. But I want to say massive thanks, Katie. And yeah, number two, let's rock out podcast number two, part two. And thank you so much for being an awesome guest.
Thank you, honestly. And that's really kind, really, really kind what you said.
I know, it's all but true. It's all true. All right, buddy, you have the rest of social media. Let's get on that. You have an awesome lockdown, whatever it is that you're cracking on with, and I will catch up with you super soon.
I'll talk to you soon. Thanks, all right, Michelle.
Mate, no worries. Take care.
Bye.